Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 15. We're finally coming to the end of this chapter. Mark chapter 15, verse 42 through 47. The end is in sight. We have four sermons from chapter 16, and then we will start something new. But let's read together verse 42 through 47. Let's begin. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he took fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid. That is the word of God for you today. Jesus endured being buried for you. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, because Jesus loved you, he obeyed his Father throughout his life for you, and that righteousness is credited to your account. He was betrayed for you. He was abandoned for you. He was denied for you. He was falsely accused for you. He was condemned by the religious leaders for you. He was tried and innocently condemned by the secular, the civil leaders for you. He endured the mental and physical tortures before crucifixion. He endured the painful and shameful cross for you. And then he died for you. But that still wasn't enough to satisfy God's anger against you, because your sins were so great, so intense. Jesus had to be buried for you as well. And this is what you will hear about today. Our headings are: Joseph asked for Jesus' body to bury it, Pilate gave Jesus' body to Joseph to bury, and then third, Mary watched Joseph bury Jesus' body. Our goals are that you will see that Jesus truly died for you, and that you in turn will learn to sacrifice yourself for Jesus and his kingdom. Because he died, you can serve him. It's more than your sins are forgiven, for you were saved to serve. First, Joseph asked for Jesus' body to bury it. Now, it was the day of preparation, which is the day before the Sabbath, and the sun was about to set. It was important to know this because the Jewish Sabbath began at sundown to the next sundown. We go from midnight to midnight, but there the day ended when the sun went down. So Joseph of Arimathea, he was a Sanhedrin council member. The Sanhedrin was a ruling council, usually made up of 70 or more people of Jewish nation, and they oversee whatever the Romans would let them control, both in the religious sense and in the political sense as well. He came and asked Pilate for Jesus' body so he could bury it. Now, what do we know about this Joseph of Arimathea? First of all, we know he was a good man. We know he was a rich man. We know he was a just man. Most importantly, we know he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's why you need to read the whole Bible to get the whole pictures. There are many parts that support the other parts. And a couple of verses in the Bible from Luke chapter 23, verse 50, and John, they confirm this. Let's read verse 50 of Luke 23 together. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. That means a man who was acknowledging fairness in the way he lived his life. Then John 19:38 together. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. So he's described by John as a follower of Jesus Christ. There's another such example in the scriptures that give the same idea, which is Simeon. He was one who believed in Messiah coming to die for the sins of the world. And so was, you know, sometimes we think that because someone didn't personally follow Jesus, he didn't believe in Jesus, he didn't know about Jesus. But look at Luke chapter 2, verse 25, and let's read together. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So even though he had not seen Jesus before, Jesus had not died yet, he believed in Jesus, and there were many like he in Israel as well. We see another case with Anna, who worked in the temple. So it's not surprising that Joseph would have believed, but more specifically, he knew some things about Jesus, and he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, why would Joseph want to bury Jesus' body, though? As a Christian, he knew how the Romans treated bodies of people they thought were criminals. The Romans would toss their bodies in a common grave with other criminal bodies. By the way, you know that place was called Golgotha or Calvary? It just means the place of skulls. So they would leave the bodies there, they'll rot, and there'll be bones, skulls in that place. It was not a beautiful place like you see sometimes in the picture of the nice green hillside. It was probably a very smelly place, and that's what they would do with the bodies. Or, before that, they would leave the bodies hanging on the cross to rot and to be eaten by birds. And you realize that that was not proper. If you were a true believer in God, if you were a true Jew, you would never want to leave a body hanging overnight. It was disrespectful. Remember that even though that person was hanged for his crimes, he was still made in the image of God, and he had to be taken down in the evening. And that's what Joseph was trying to do, to prevent the insult to someone who was there in the image of God. And you think that sounds okay, but it actually took quite a bit of courage for him to do that. Why would it take courage to do that? That just seems like a nice thing to do. Well, the Jews wanted Jesus to be an example. And wanting to take the body down and bury it in a proper burial was not what the Jews might have wanted, many of their religious leaders. Remember, they conspired with Rome to kill Jesus, to make an example of him. As one of their high priests said, let's make him an example. It's better that he dies for the whole country and keep peace. Also, Joseph's own family would not have been pleased. After all, you have this brand new tomb that was hewn out of the rock, and that's not an easy thing to do. They didn't have all the high-powered tools that we have today. And this perfectly clean thing, you're going to put a criminal in it? Someone who's charged with such heinous crimes? And then it would have been a scorch upon his own reputation, because normally only the friends of those who were killed might take their bodies. And if he's taking the body of this one that was, people were clamoring, kill him, and it chose a murderer like Barabbas over Jesus, and you want to be a friend of this man? That wasn't good for his reputation either. But you know what? His love for the Lord, his love for God's law, caused him to be courageous and to stand up against the world. And he asked for the body of Jesus. Now, Pilate was surprised that Jesus was already dead, and he asked for confirmation that he had died before he gave the body to Joseph. It was kind of a surprise that Jesus died so quickly, because normally you could be on there for a couple of days while you slowly suffocate to death. Why did Jesus die so early? Was it a cop-out? Did he just decide, well, I'm going to ease the pain? No, he was tortured. He was tortured before. His back became furrows. You can imagine the loss of blood that he experienced. Being beaten before being killed. And so he died there. And Joseph asked for his body. A couple of lessons. First of all, Jesus' burial from Friday afternoon to Sunday morning proved that he died. He met the full justice of God for you. That's the justice that belonged to you. You needed to be fully killed because you were the rotten sinner. That's how bad you were. And he had to not only die for you, he had to be buried for you. Second, Christ may have more secret believers than you are aware of. Remember the time of Elijah when he thought, I'm the only one left. Look what's going to happen. I'm going to be killed. And the Lord said, I have 7,000 more. You think you're the only one? I got 7,000 more prophets who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Don't ever think you are alone. Maybe it's good reason that we should talk to each other more. Other Christians, get to know them. That's what we do when we write letters and encourage them. It reminds us that God's kingdom is much bigger than the small church here at New Horizon. Third, would you be willing to do something that might embarrass you before friends, but you know it's the right thing to do? Maybe visit somebody who has attempted suicide. You know how difficult that is? Someone wants to die as a cop-out. Maybe they did something wrong and wanted to hide. Going to visit them and show the love of Jesus Christ to them is a kindness. And people might say, what kind of friend do you have? Maybe he's a cheater. Maybe he's done something terrible. But don't be afraid. Don't be ever ashamed to identify as a child of God helping other children of God. Be willing to stand up wherever you are. Now, can you imagine trying to speak of Jesus on a day like today in Toronto, going down trying to engage other people in the Pride Parade, which is nothing but a shame parade? But standing up for Jesus Christ, now I'm not talking about the wisdom of going there right now. It's probably not a good time to go. But to identify yourself as a Christian in the midst of people who oppose you. Would you be willing to stand up as someone who is a Christian and speak up against the murder of children? I was reading this week of a lady who left her place in the American women's soccer team, and she was described as being a distraction, that it was kind of this, she had some strange beliefs. And what were those strange beliefs? That homosexuality was wrong and they don't need to celebrate it. And she was looked upon as the weird one. But she held her ground. Quite a remarkable thing to give up a big position like that in order that she can speak for Jesus Christ. That's what Joseph speaking, standing up and doing. He could do the easy thing and just remain quiet. The people would like him. The family would like him. He wouldn't be in any danger. But he stood for truth. There is a fourth lesson that we see from the life of Joseph as well. Riches should aid your worship. Riches should not prevent or hinder your worship. Many people, when they become rich, they ignore worship. They treat it with sort of disdain, or they use their money as a way of controlling things within the church. But your riches should help you. He had money. He was able to have a new tomb for his family, and he gave it to the Lord. He didn't say, why would I blow it on a criminal? He was willing to use his riches for good. Let's come to our second point then. First of all, we see that Joseph asked for the body of Jesus to bury it, running the risk of alienation and alienating some family members and people becoming angry with him. But then Pilate gave the body to Joseph to bury. And he buried him. What's interesting here is that Joseph was assisted by another man that we read about in scriptures. Another man who wasn't very bold to talk about Jesus. And you can read about him in John chapter 3. Jesus told the most famous verse in the Bible to him, Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Look at the account, John chapter 19 verse 38, to show Nicodemus helping Joseph in the burial of Jesus. Together, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Now in that place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. So God worked in Pharaoh's heart to give Jesus' body to a stranger. Normally you would only give this body to a friend. And with no friend around, all the friends left, Jesus would have been left on the cross to be eaten by birds. But God worked. Look at some more of the details then of what Joseph did in the burying of Jesus' body. He laid Jesus' body in a new tomb. Why was that important? So there will be no mix-up about the bodies after the resurrection. No one will say, well, we're not sure which one of the bodies. Remember, they had family tombs. So when somebody died, you would open the tomb and put in a new body. And they're just wrapped up in cloth. They weren't in these fancy boxes like we have today. And he was the only one who was put in there. And of course, a new tomb was more identifiable. People would know exactly where Jesus' body was laid and could verify his resurrection. Second, Joseph's tomb was not far away, but nearby. No one then could sneak in and steal the body away because it was right near where he was killed. Third, Joseph covered Jesus' body with sweet preserving perfumes, myrrh and aloes. 100 pounds of preserving agents showed how much they wanted to preserve Jesus' body. But we know the body was not properly embalmed as the Sabbath was about to begin, and they needed to stop that. They could not complete the work. And you will see next time, Lord willing, the women came with more spices after the Sabbath to complete that process when they found out that he was not there, but he had been raised up. But you know what those things cost, to pour all of this ointment and perfume and spices on the body to prevent it from being eaten. It just preserved the body that way. Similar to what we may think of curing. Sounds gross, but when you're curing something, you put all the spices and thing, and then the body dried out. That was their plan. The fourth thing we know about this burial was that Joseph wrapped Jesus' body in new, clean, fine linen cloth, something that was fit for someone who was pure. Can you imagine them doing this to a criminal? No. You get whatever cloth you can and just wrap the body up and bury it or burn it, which was very common for criminals. But they used pure cloth, clean cloth, new cloth, for the body of Jesus. Matthew 27, verse 59 and 60 together. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Why wasn't Jesus buried with the robbers, though? They were there. Remember, they would have broken the legs of the robbers so that they would die quickly. They would suffocate and then they can bury the body. So they would have dead bodies there. Why would they not be buried with robbers? And there were, of course, the Romans crucified many people, many Jewish people. Well, the Bible said that he wouldn't be buried with the wicked, but with the rich. So if the Bible says it's going to happen, you know it's going to happen the way God says. So it was really a fulfillment of God's prophecy that Jesus would be buried with the rich. Remember, he identified Joseph as a rich man. And this further proved who he was. Because if someone was crucified as a criminal, as an insurrectionist, as a blasphemer, they wouldn't put his body with good people or clean people or nice people. So it was contrary to the nature of things, which showed the truth of the scriptures. Also, we know that, look at Isaiah 53, verse 9. Now let's read together. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So he's there. Of course, there are many other people who were around who were wicked, but he wasn't buried with them in the same tomb, but in a new tomb, and with someone who was rich. The second reason he wasn't buried with the wicked people, the robbers, was because the atonement had been paid in full. The Heavenly Father, the Father in heaven, had been satisfied and accepted that this was all that was necessary. And Jesus could no longer be enrolled on the rolls of the wicked. He had to be buried differently. The work had been done. And so he could not be buried, and his body dumped among other dead people, criminals. There's a third thing. If Jesus were thrown with the common criminal and cremated, how would they verify the resurrection? This way, against the natural thing of giving the body to a stranger, with the body being buried in a tomb, a new tomb, where no one else had been buried, it showed more clearly the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, after burying the Lord, Joseph rolled a large stone in front of the tomb and sealed it. And there were three ladies who came later, and they could not move it because it was so large. On top of that, Pilate set guards at the request of the Jewish leaders. This is the picture of the harlot, the Jewish nation, joining with the beast, the Romans, thinking that the disciples might want to steal the body and claim that he was resurrected. So Christ's own murderers guarded his tomb so that there could be no doubt that no one could steal his body away. Look at something more from Matthew 27, verse 65. Together, Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way and make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now, it doesn't mean one soldier. A guard meant multiple soldiers were there. We know that from other parts of the scriptures. Plus, this tomb was sealed. So there's nobody who could go there, just strong men, and roll the stone away, for it was sealed. So what lessons can we learn from the fact that Joseph buried Jesus' body? First of all, never stop confessing that Christ was killed and buried, as there's no salvation without Christ's burial. You hear that? There's no salvation without Christ's burial. You know, some people criticize you when you say you believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, died, and was buried. Why are you repeating things like that? Why don't you speak about love and how you need to love one another? Well, there's no love without the burial. You've got no ability to obey without Jesus not only dying but being buried for you. So keep saying it. They must hear it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Together, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day." Now specifically, and this is the beauty of this text, you were united in Christ's death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. It means that you were in him when he died. You were spiritually joined to him. So when he died, it is as if your sins were paid for in him. And to show that you really died in him, you were buried with him. That's why Christ had to be buried. And then God accepted that you have been punished. You were beaten and betrayed, and all those terrible things happened to you, and then you were buried. And what Jesus accomplished was therefore credited to your account. This is why you don't have to die as a punishment for your sins. And look at the beauty of this now. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, let's read it together first. Let's begin. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So now you are wrapped in beautiful, what? Fine linen clothing. Just like Jesus was wrapped that way, this is the picture now. The work is done, and you have clean clothes again. You're wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then third point, after Jesus was buried by Joseph, Mary, or we should rather say Mary's, watched Joseph bury Jesus' body. Bible says in verse 47, "Mary Magdalene, the mother, and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid." The two ladies watched, so they were able to prove where Joseph buried Jesus' dead body. They joined many other witnesses of Christ's burial. Joseph of Arimathea himself buried Jesus. Nicodemus was there bringing all the ointments and spices and aloes and myrrh. Then the Jewish elders came to make sure the body was in there. And the chief priests and the scribes and Pilate's guards, they all knew where Jesus was buried. And by the way, these were the enemies mostly of Christ, who witnessed where he was buried. So there was no doubt about his burial. Love for the Lord made these women follow Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem, to outside of Jerusalem, to the cross, and then even to the grave. Or what could one expect from a bride? A bride who loves the bridegroom. That's what the church does. You're the bride of Christ. And that's why these women followed the Lord. And they were supporting him in what he was doing. This is the picture and the beautiful picture we have in Song of Solomon, where he pictured the love of Christ for his church. Solomon chapter 8, verse 6 and 7 together. "The Shulamite to her beloved, set me as a seal upon your heart and as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. What you see here is the longing of the bride to be with her bridegroom. What a beautiful picture, using the picture of human love to, which is the best illustration anyone could use to picture the love of Jesus Christ and his bride for him. That's why they didn't leave. They didn't say, things don't look like it's going to work out. We'll find some other rabbi to follow. No, they knew Jesus. They trusted in Jesus. And they followed him even to his death. That's what a bride does. You ever seen a woman's husband whom she loves dies, and then the woman says, well, I got to start looking for somebody else. I don't have time for a funeral. You would be surprised somebody would do something like that. And so the bride followed. They wanted to see the body being buried. Now, surely they expected that that was the end of Jesus. But they still continued to love him. Now, the multiplicity of testimony that we find of Jesus' burial verify the truth. And which was this: Jesus died. And we know he died for sinners. Jesus did not escape to India like the Muslims argue, or took into northern Indian Kashmir and have wife and children. No, he died. He really died. And many people saw that he died. And he was buried for 3 days. What lessons can we learn from just this short point? The observation that he was truly buried. First of all, Jesus had no grave of his own, because he had no sin of his own. It's kind of interesting that Jesus had man's sin, so it was appropriate for him to have man's grave, because man's sin was on him. It's quite a remarkable picture when you think about it. That underscores why it was a tomb that nobody else had used. Second, are you following the Lord and being a witness of his death for sinners? No, the Lord doesn't want your tears for his death. You know, people do that. Many places you go on Good Friday, people all dress in black and go to church. He doesn't want tears. What does he want? He wants you to tell others about it. Tell others that he died. And that was his commission to his disciples. Go into all the world and tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them that he died for their sins. And these women went there and they saw he not only died, he was buried for their sins. He paid the full price of their sins. And God was pleased with that. You know, I heard a sermon this past week, and the pastor said a couple of very important things at the funeral that I attended. And he said, this man who died was a great servant. And I thought, very good. Nice to hear Christians are serving. And then he said, you know, Christ was a servant. He came to seek and to save and to serve. And that was it. And the point that was missed was this: it was the work of Jesus Christ that caused that man to serve and to give him himself as he did to other people. And that's what this thing we need to focus on, that Christ died and paid the full price of our sins, and so we are restored in Jesus Christ, and we can live for him now. Otherwise, we're looking at examples. We're saying, follow the example of Jesus. Be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? Well, you can't do what Jesus did unless the gospel works in your heart first. That is the gospel. Let's conclude. Joseph was a true believer who asked for and received the body of Christ from Pilate so he could bury him. And he did bury him. This proved that Jesus died and fully atoned for man's sins. There is no other way to atone for man's sins. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, rejoice that you don't have to die for your sins. You never have to die for your sins. I know a song we used to sing as kids. You ask me why I'm happy. Well, let me tell you why. It's because my sins are gone. And everyone can rejoice if he asks God for forgiveness. But more than rejoicing is something you should remember. Remember when Christ died? He took away the terror of the grave from you. So don't try to die, but don't be afraid of death. The sting of death has been removed. There's no fear of hell anymore. So we can lay down and die in peace, knowing our sins are gone. The third thing is your response. Respond by telling the world that they too can lose the fear of death. And by the way, non-Christians are afraid of death. They have to be. They can't help it. They don't know where they're going. And they have the fear of death. Well, you can tell them that if they rely on Christ's death for sinners, the fear of death will be gone. And finally, if you don't believe Jesus lived, died, and was buried and raised from the dead, you might be a good person, but you will go to hell. You need to see and believe who Jesus was and what he did in the place of sinners. Then all sins can be forgiven. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for reminding us of our Lord Jesus Christ, who endured a hard life, suffering in the end, the cross, and then even burial for us. So great was his love. And now we have perfect peace with you because all our sins have been paid for. May we then live victoriously, rejoice, and may we tell others what Jesus has done for us so they too can receive this benefit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.